Sometimes when I'm asked what is the purpose of a Unitarian Universalist congregation, knowing there are any number of answers to that, I say one of the purposes of us, one of the things we attempt to do is provide a place to grow a soul, to grow a life, discover some of life's deeper meanings for ourselves, grow what the scripture calls a more abundant life. We try to do that with all who come in to our midst, offer a place for them, a place for them to be, a place for them to grow. Our roots, many of you know, are in the Protestant Christian tradition, and yet those are roots. We try to visualize roots of a tree. But the tree that has come up out of those roots has branched far and wide beyond that, while still being true to those roots and acknowledging them. Yet the branches that grow out of those roots of the tree stretch wide in any number of directions, under an open sky, discovery, hope, and possibility. So we try to grow lives here, branches on the tree growing out from our roots. We also do what things we can to try to help to heal, bring a little more wholeness, a little more hope, what is sometimes a broken and a fallen world. I heard that a little earlier just in this community, trying to help people who don't have the access to health care that a number of us enjoy, whatever things like that we can do. So what I'm doing this morning, both, and this is for those of you who have been in this congregation for a long time, and perhaps others of you may be here for the first time, I've invited a couple of our members to speak to the topic of still you after all these years. Hillary and Mike have both been a part of this congregation for a long time. So I've invited them to share what that's been like to kind of settle in here for a long-term relationship that we hope we can offer to so many other people as well. I guess since Hillary's name is listed first on here, I'm going to let her go, and then Mike. Okay? Thank you.
Kathy said to wait 3 seconds before I start talking. I was really honored when I was asked to speak about what keeps me here at this church. I'm not a big processor, as my therapist husband will agree with, and this gave me kind of a push to think about why I really stayed in this church for so long. It's been 20 years. And in doing so, I had to divide my talk into two sections, really, two brief sections, I promise, why I'm a UU and why I come to this church. And the first, why I continue to be a UU, is pretty simple. It's the seven principles. They say it all. The religion promotes the inherent worth and dignity of every person. It promotes treating people with justice, equity, and compassion. It promotes the acceptance of one another and the encouragement of spiritual growth, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process, the goal of world community, and a respect for the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are a part. These are truly principles to live by, and by at least trying to live by these principles, I feel like I've grown as a person. I'm a better person because of Unitarian Universalism. It's allowed me to consider different spiritual paths over the years without guilt, and has helped me to come to some conclusions in my thinking, even if it's only that it is okay to not know about the existence of God and some other important questions. Now the second, why I continue to be a member of the Church of Nashua, is multifaceted. I love the physical structure of the church. Now that's not necessarily just the only good reason to belong to a church, but whenever I walk into this sanctuary, into the building in general, I feel like I'm coming home. There's such a feeling of serenity here for me, both when it's full of people like this morning and when it's empty. When I'm here at night, which is about once a week, I try to sneak into the sanctuary and sit in the dim light, usually about halfway down, and just breathe in and soak up whatever it has to offer me, even if it's just for 2 minutes. I think of all the generations that sat here before me, and I feel a real deep connection to them and to the church. But the church is so much more than the building. I know that if we didn't have the building, we'd still have the church, because the church is really about the people. When I walked into this church for the first time for Sunday service about 21 years ago, it happened to be Open House Sunday, just like today. About 18 years ago, I was asked to speak about gratitude at a Christmas Eve service, and I remember I said then how I walked into the church that first day, and there was Sue Chadwick, whom I'd known from a chorus that we both sung with. She said something like, "Oh, good, you can be the person I bring for Open House Sunday." Always thinking ahead. And I related how she took my hand, and I felt then that she'd never let me go. And now, after 20 years, there are so many people that have taken my hand and pulled me in. The people of the choir, my covenant group, both the new members and the old members, the members of the executive board, all the people involved with social justice issues. Bob and I are involved in social justice work, and I can't describe the pride that I feel at being a member of this church when often many of the people standing witness for peace in front of City Hall or at an event to promote ending homelessness, for example, are also from this church, including Steve, our minister, an important statement to the community about what we stand for. And I have to tell you how cool it is, in the words of Kathy Fletcher, I might say, to stand up here in this spot and look out at you, see all your faces, some people I know and some people I don't know, and I think this is my beloved community. So thank you.
Still knew you after all these years. I was going to riff on the Paul Simon song a little bit, but the first line is, "I met my old lover on the street last night." Stephanie's here, so. So maybe not. We joined the church about 12 years ago, I think mostly for the kids. But they've been gone a while now, and we've stayed, and I'm really happy. We're both really happy we stayed, but why have we stayed? I guess a lot of it is just feelings and friends, how it feels really right to be here, great friends we've made here. But there seems to be something more going on that I'll try to explain. But first, about feelings. I mean, I was trained as an engineer. I was trained not to be in touch with my feelings, right? Because feelings, they're not facts. They don't hold the bridge up. They don't process an accelerated option assignment correctly, which is what I did last week in my work. But in yoga class, when they say your head is a balloon, I have to think they're not really serious about it. But there is something, there's no doubt, something feels right about being here. There is a lot of feelings. I mean, I love the way Steve, in his sermons, he can blend the practical and the sublime. And I learn something every time. Where else do you learn that Easter is named after a pagan goddess of fertility? I mean, probably not on cable news. But Steve seems to use facts and stories to pull us to deeper meaning. Much deeper meanings and more ambiguous than the preachings I heard when I was raised as Lutheran. It's just a beautiful thing. And of course, the music. Music is like one of those joyful mysteries in, I think, almost everyone's life. Jed, the choir, you guys, I think you're great. And every single time, you're better than I remember the last time. So thank you very much. You bring me to this sort of calm, thankful place, this place where I'm thankful for the music, I'm thankful my ears still work. Our church is also sometimes a place for people who don't really have a church. You know, they might be spiritual people, but for one reason or the other, they don't fit anywhere else in the other churches. When our good friend Janie McNamee's mother died, her memorial service was here. She was raised Catholic, but came here occasionally. Steve did a great job. Sandra and Alec played Lover's Waltz. Everything just seemed so right for her and her family and for the people who attended, I think. When Sandra brought an East German choir here a few years ago, East German choir, New England Unitarian Universalist Church, and they sang Southern gospel music. It just seemed so right, so fitting. And of course, afterwards, we went out for Mexican food. Steve has talked about the church being a third place, a place that is other than home and work for you, that can provide something that those places cannot. And I think that's the single brief best description for me. This is my third place. We've made wonderful friends here. If hell is other people, those people aren't here. Friends we can hang out with, go beer drinking with, laugh at odd jokes together, and also allow me to dress up as Superman or Jean-Luc Picard or Captain Renault, my favorite. But there's something else, a feeling transition, there's something else going on. I'm not sure how to articulate it exactly, but it's sort of this gentle nudge to maybe understand yourself better, maybe be a better person. I mean, compared to many of you, I do very little around here. I'm proud when I hear of your work. I'm working toward fairness and compassion. But even without doing a lot, I feel like you've helped me. I mean, I think I've become more social, more philosophical, and I hope more patient, especially with people at work. So feelings, friends, and the nudge to a better future, I'm glad we're still crazy. I mean, you, after all these years. Thank you so much. It certainly is. I need a Sunday like this from time to time when I can kind of sit back and listen to what some other folks had to say, especially such well chosen, such fine words as they'd offer. And the thing I would offer you now as we hold up for you to be aware of self-evident fact, but it's true, there was a time when both Micah and Hillary had no ties, no connections to this congregation at all. There was a time when perhaps like is the case with some of you here today, they walked through those doors for the very first time, probably not knowing hardly anyone in here. In Hillary's case, finding a friendly face with Sue, but walking into what at that time was by and large a community of strangers, not knowing what they would find, where it would take their lives, probably not knowing if they'd be back the following Sunday or not. Maybe some of you are in that same situation, that same position. So I'm very grateful for them speaking today to show what kinds of things can flow, what kinds of things can happen after you walk through these doors for the first time. So whether that's the case with you, or whether you're coming back from an earlier visit, or whether you too are still you after all these years, I do invite you now to a time after our service to be together in our dining room and to share some of that those thoughts with us. And if you are here for the first time or one of your first visits, do stop by our newcomers table. More than that, engage in some conversations with folks like Mike and Hillary so they can also tell you how important this congregation has been to them since the time that they found it. With all that in mind, let's sing together now our closing hymn. It's number 145, As Tranquil Streams.